Good morning, Countryside Covenant Church. It's good to see all of you here today. My name is Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I want to read the scripture passage I'm going to be preaching on today, which comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. And I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the past few weeks, Pastor John has dove quite deeply into the false prophets, the false teachers, the scoffers, and how we recognize them around us. And we should have a very good working knowledge on how to spot one when we see one or when we hear one. This morning, I'm not only going to build upon Pastor John's sermons, but I'm also wanting to incorporate some of the affirmations that the Evangelical Covenant Church have come to believe, as well as looking at those within three points that I believe the Apostle Peter is making in verses 1 through 7. But before I get into those three points, I just want to quickly talk about the formation of chapter 3. Theologians all say, look, chapter 2 and chapter 3 is just one long continuation. And I would say, duh, the whole letter is one continuation because the Bible used to not be divided up into chapters and verses before, right? So it's no shock that, in fact, chapter 3 is a continuation of chapter 2. However, there is a break in where Peter says, "Dear friends," which begins chapter 3. It's like if I'm talking to someone and I would say, hey, Pastor John, you know, there's blah, 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 you know, we got to do this. And so John, and I repeat his name, it's like, oh, there's what I am about to say after that is going to be important. Or I am reiterating his names, or I'm reminding, hey, dear friends. Let me listen, let me pay attention. And so 2 Peter, chapter 3, Peter writes this break, "Dear friends, pay attention. Here's what I want you to also pay attention to. I want this to be kept in the back of your minds." So, he's wanting the hearers to be aware not only of these false teachers, these scoffers, but that you can spot them because they deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They are motivated by their own self-interests. It's like kind of like when someone tries to sell you a timeshare. Just kidding, if you sell timeshares, I apologize. Come talk to me after the service. Okay, I mentioned a little while, maybe like about a month ago, every month our local Covenant churches get together as pastors and staff. It's our Smoky Valley Pastors Network gathering. We get together every month, and a couple of months ago, Pastor Austin, who used to be the youth director here, he now serves in Osage City, he said, or asked, "How covenant is your local church?" So as a part of the Evangelical Covenant Church, in which our local church is a part of, he said, you know, would any of your congregants know any of the covenant affirmations? Would they be able you know, do all of us know all six covenant affirmations and can repeat them on the spot? And so this challenge of understanding what the Evangelical Covenant Church is all about was kind of a challenge. And so during that sermon, I mentioned a few things about our covenant church. So here we go with the 3 points the Apostle Peter is making, and as I incorporate some of these covenant affirmations. Number one, it is the Word of God that shapes our minds. Verses 1 through 2. As an evangelical covenant church, we affirm the centrality of the Word of God and that the Word of God is the only perfect rule for faith, life, and conduct or doctrine. Verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Peter says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." Pastor John reminded us of this last week. He said, bad thinking leads to bad behavior, or bad theology leads to unrighteous living. So, as an evangelical covenant church, not only do we emphasize the need and dependency on Scripture to be our litmus test for everything, right? We study the Bible, we read the Bible, but we do it in community together, and we discern the Word of God together, and we love God's words. And when we hear something that might be fishy, or it sounds a bit off, or it's perhaps causing us to think a different way about God, we might say, well, where is it written? Where is that found in Scripture? That is what a good covenanter asks. Where is it written? Show me. Even though we're in Kansas, be like, we're the show me state. Show me. Where is it written? And the Apostle Paul, or Peter, urges the hearers, remember the former words that God has spoken through not only himself in the first letter, but also from what the apostles had said previously. If you can't remember what they have said in the past, and if you don't remember what I told you in the past, how can you expect to know anything now or determine whether or not something is true today? 2 Timothy 3:12 through 7, the Apostle Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, they're going to be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When a false teacher attempts to lead us down the bad road or the wrong road, and bad theology and bad thinking, as a good covenantal person, we will say, where is that written? Where is that found in the Bible? Show me. How did you come up with this conclusion? Because the Bible is the final authority for all life and all conduct and all faith. There was, this is only my second time ever doing this. I'm going to do a Pastor Johnism. I'm going to tell you a joke. So, there was this woman, and she was flying on a plane, and she was reading her Bible. And then a gentleman had come down and sat next to her, saw her reading the Bible. He looks at her and just like, kind of scoffs a little bit. That's what scoffers do. They scoff. And so, 20, 30 minutes into the plane ride, he says to her, "Hey, I noticed that you're reading the Bible. You don't really believe everything that you read in there, do you?" She says, "Well, of course I do. It's God's word. I believe everything in this Bible." And the guy says, "Well, What about this guy that was swallowed up by a fish and lived in this fish for 3 days? You don't really believe that, do you? She's like, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, it says it right there. I believe it. Well, how did that happen? She says, well, you know, I don't really know, but I suppose when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And the guy says, well, how do you know he's in heaven? She says, well, I don't, but if he's not, then you can ask him. Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Yes. Okay. So the question is, are we allowing God's word to shape our entire worldview and wait expectantly for Christ's return? Will we allow the noise of the world to shape how we think, what we believe, and how we interact with this world? Or are we allowing God's word to shape that in our lives, giving us and pushing us towards Christ Jesus? Do we believe that the Bible is really the only perfect rule for faith, life, and conduct? As a covenant church, that is one of the things that we affirm. We read it for answers. We discuss it with others, and we allow it to shape every aspect of our lives. Point number two, we got to deal with those darn scoffers and the battle for truth. In verses 3-4, Peter says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, hey, where's this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Scoffers, always scoffing. One of the other covenant affirmations is that we believe in the necessity of new birth. Well, how do those two come together? Our church affirms the new birth is more than just the experience of forgiveness and acceptance. It is the regeneration and the gift of eternal life. And this life has the qualities of love and of righteousness as well as joy and peace. Now, the scoffers that Peter is addressing deny this truth, and they deny that Christ will come again, thus denying what Christ has accomplished and denying what Christ will accomplish. Pastor John said this last week, you can always spot the characteristics of the scoffers. They display a depraved conduct. They are motivated by greed. They are filled with pride and arrogance. They're controlling and manipulative. And they live and proclaim a lifestyle of license. In other words, you can just do whatever it is you want to do. If we go back to the first chapter, well, let me go back and say this. Those characteristics that are on the screen right now, those five things, deny, in fact, show that Christ must not be coming back, because he hasn't come back already. Delay in their minds equals denial. Delay equals denial. This is a huge misunderstanding. They believe that since Christ has not returned already, and it's been, what, just a few decades, that he's not going to return. Hey, look, he's not coming back. Hey, look, today, it's been over 2,000 years. He hasn't come back. I don't think he's coming back again. So just go ahead and do whatever it is you want to do. Peter's warning the people. No, in fact, Jesus is coming back. Christ has proclaimed he is coming back, and we still wait expectantly for Christ's return. And if we go back to the first letter that Peter wrote and look at chapter 1, verse 3-5, Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us, what? New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed when? In the last time. As Christians and as good covenant people, we recognize there is a necessity for new birth. And this is what a new birth can look like. And I used this example, I don't know, years ago, but I'll probably keep using this as well. I don't remember when I was born. Okay, I don't remember the situation. I don't remember meeting my parents for the first time. Okay, I don't remember being born. But the fact that I'm alive today indicates that that birth happened at some point. The fact that you're here sitting today indicates that you were born at some time in your life. Everybody tracking so far? Okay? It indicates that life has taken place. Birth has taken place. As Christians, if we are living in a way that is pleasing to God and that our trajectory is continuously pleasing God, worshiping God, and that our lives reflect some kind of change and the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, then we know at some point that a new birth has taken place, as is evident of our current life. That is what a new birth can look like. So even though you might know not exactly when salvation has come to you, your current life may reflect that that change has happened. Are you tracking? Some people experience that change immediately, and they can pinpoint the day and the moment when they gave their life to Christ. And for others, it might have just been a process, or they can't pinpoint it to a particular time. When I was a kid, I also always heard adults saying, oh, you know, if you just look around, these current days, these are the last days. Jesus is definitely coming back soon. Since I was a kid, I've been hearing that. I got to imagine that all throughout history, people have said, have you seen the world that we're living in? Christ is definitely coming back soon. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. But I know some of you have said that. Man, if you look at this world, you see everything that's happening, Christ has got to be coming back soon. Look at how everything's lining up. And I'm not saying that that's not going to happen, because in fact, Christ is coming back again. Christ is 100% coming back again. And if we do look at the world around us, he is coming back soon, and I just don't know when. And neither do you. But that's okay. The promise is in the Bible that Christ's return is imminent, and it will happen. We are living in the last days, and Peter is telling the people, just as they are living in the last days as well, Christ is returning. And in fact, all of us have a lifespan in which at some point in our earthly selves we'll die and we will encounter Christ. But Pastor John's going to talk more about that next week. Okay. Point number three. The Apostle Peter says we are to remember God's faithfulness and judgment. Verses 5-7. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. As an evangelical covenant church, we affirm a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit, which is clear in verses 5-7. Peter is warning the hearers against the scoffers, these false teachers, that they deliberately forget God's actions throughout history. Not only this, but they have adopted a pantheistic idea of who God is. This higher power has created the universe, this world around us. And since he has created the world, he's created us, he has nothing to do with us anymore. It's like, you guys just figure it out. God created the world and then moved away. Created the world and walked away. That's it. That's a pantheistic view. And Peter is warning the people, look, God is still involved and cares deeply for the things that are happening on this earth. Additionally, we see in Revelation that God is the final judge and that he is coming again. The Apostle John says in chapter 22, 12-13, Jesus says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The covenant church says the Spirit is the prevenient actor in the drama of salvation, the creator of hunger for Christ's life and the fulfiller of that hungry. And we are often surprised at the unfolding of God's purpose, suggesting our ways and thoughts are not always the ways and thoughts of God. And for this reason, the covenanters desire to cultivate a healthy humanity before God, open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. God acted in judgment before. God is going to act in judgment again. The present world is reserved for fire. God is not indifferent. God is holy. And a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit is about allowing ourselves to be directed in every part of the day. God might be putting someone or something in front of you. He is wanting you to respond to. He is prompting you. There is a voice that some say, hey, you know, I need to go and interact with this person. Or this person needs to hear something. God has a word for them. Or, you know, I just need to go and serve somebody. And we listen and we respond, but we ask the question, well, God, why would you want me to do this? Why is the Holy Spirit prompting me to interact in this way that feels somewhat uncomfortable for me? What's the why? And God says, you don't need to know why. Just as your kids sometimes ask, why do I need to do that now? It's because I told you to. Just be faithful. You might not always know the why. You just need to be faithful to respond to Spirit's prompting. And a conscious dependency on the Holy Spirit will always keep you living a righteous life. The Holy Spirit will always guide you and give you the discernment. Every time you read the Bible, you're praying, Holy Spirit, give me the discernment as I read Scripture. Holy Spirit, give us discernment as we read Scripture together and we study your word together. Holy Spirit, give our community discernment as we go through life together, which brings me to the summary. 2 minutes. In summary, the Evangelical Covenant Church affirms the fellowship, the church as a fellowship of believers. We live together in church community and we live as a fellowship of believers with hope. Our hope is built in truth, and we can only know the truth if we know Jesus and his words, commands, and we live with a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit, knowing Jesus is returning, and when we wait patiently, and while we wait, we continue to read and study Scripture. We must always live in a way that demonstrates that we are born again, that we realize that there is a necessity of new birth, and our faith in Jesus Christ should always be shown through our actions as we depend on the Holy Spirit for help. The way of living is also exemplified through love and charity with one author, that we bear witness to God's love, mercy, and justice. We repent and we turn towards Christ, and we allow ourselves to be humbly led by Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So then, how should we live? Which has been up on the slide for quite some time now, so hopefully you've written some of these down. Number one, we recommit to God's word. We let God's word shape our minds and give us hope. Number two, we stand firm amid scoffing. We're not shaken by delay. We trust in God's redemptive purpose. Three, we live expectantly as a Spirit-led community, proclaiming and embodying hope in Christ's return. And so how will we wait upon until Christ's return? And what does this judgment look like? Pastor John's going to tell you all about that next week in his sermon. So please come back and listen to that prompting, Pastor John, as he tackles the impending judgment as well. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you are everything. And we proclaim your goodness, and we do wait expectantly upon your return, God, to make all things new. Sometimes it's difficult to wait, but God, you just ask us to be faithful each day. That's it. Just be faithful today. We'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. So, Holy Spirit, continue to give us the promptings. Give us the discernment that we need as we read the Bible and as we live in community together. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.